You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, good day, everybody. Thank you for joining us on LA Talk Radio and Dr. Pat Allen's Empowered Communication. So I'm Patricia Eltinge here with Kelly Ward tonight, and we are representing the WANT Institute. And we are so fortunate to, Dr. Pat has written that wonderful book called Getting to I Do, and we will refer to that later. And the call-in number for the show is 323-203-0815. When you call the number, Sam at the switchboard sees your number and will call you back to be connected. So you'll be put in the queue and he'll call you back and answer the phone. So anyway, let me tell you a little bit about the WANT Institute. The WANT Institute currently provides facilitators. That's Kelly, Patricia, Sue, Dr. Pat's groups. There are groups. And these facilitators in groups is how you learn techniques on how to begin, build, and maintain lasting, loving relationships. So the WANT Institute is here for all of you out there. And the number of the office, if you want to ever make appointments to get in groups or have privates, it's 949-723-0338. We're waiting for you all to call, and the callers, we are here for you. Kelly, are you there?
I'm here, Patricia.
Oh, good. So we are ongoing 501c3, and the these techniques in communication will help individuals achieve their goals in communicating with personal integrity, as well as to enrich their personal and professional relationships to create win-win situations in all their daily activities. So all your relationships, not just your romantic relationships, but these communication skills that we teach enhances every aspect of your life. Right, Kelly?
Most certainly. As a matter of fact, I just had a gal reach out to me today. She's a realtor, and she was having trouble with communicating in a negotiation for a property that was for sale. And she called me and she said, "Emergency, emergency, emergency, help me with this one." Mm-hmm. And so she used it to execute the deal, and she was able to do that using our tools for communication.
Wonderful.
Amigo talk. So that was really great. And she was feeling really good about it. She called me up and she said, "Oh my gosh, you saved my bacon. The deal's going to go through." So she was pretty happy. So it's really great to see the tools spreading around beyond romantic relationships.
That's right. And even with our families, you know, some of the toughest people we have to communicate with are family members, right? So families, that's where people often get into trouble. And because as Dr. Pat always said, those are your relatives. You can't pick your relatives. You're your relatives for life. But you can pick your friends, but you have to set boundaries with your relatives and everyone else out there.
I agree 100%. And that's funny because during our holiday season that we just basically got through, there was a lot of reach outs with some of my ladies from my groups and some of my one-on-one clients. And it was arguments about, you know, whose family were they going to go to the house of, and negotiating that, you know, for Hanukkah or Christmas or New Year's. And there was a few well, I want to say nasty verbal brawls going on. And I was like, whoa, 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 why aren't we using the tools here? We need to use these tools. But it's been kind of a rough holiday season for the last couple of years with the COVID pandemic and everything. People were feeling very isolated. So when they were getting back to being able to be together, it was a little wonky sometimes. Those tools are so important.
Right. So the communication skills that we teach on how to have everyone feel it's a win-win situation. And Dr. Pat's first book, by the way, is called Conversational Rape. It's a little book. And just like it sounds, it's how in everyday language, people are undermining you. And she called it conversational rape because you wonder why somebody gives you some, what sometimes you call a backdoor compliment or something snide. And people in their upbringings get used to talking trash and being snide remarks. And that really doesn't have you win. That doesn't, nobody wins when people are talking sarcastically and snide remarks and innuendos. There's no good outcome.
That was the very first book of Dr. Pat's that I encountered as a young woman. And it had a profound effect on my life. I recall sitting there reading it through, and I was just slumped down in my chair. By the time I was done, I was just in tears because the profound effect and realization of what had happened to me through my life, it made a huge impact. And then I was fortunate enough to become connected with Dr. Pat. And so her and I have had lots of conversations about that book. And, then I, of course, have read all of her books now, but that was the one. That was the Kickstarter. It was a total personality change. And it really was, in connection with the life script.
Yes, we do life scripts too. That's we call the office. If you want to know why you are the way you are and why you react the way you do, you'll call and get a life script done. And that's a very in-depth study of how you became you. So we send out a 27 questions and a questionnaire that you work on yourself. And then you have a very long involved appointment where we archaeological dig the stuff that made you the way you are. And that is our training from our parents, our ancestors, our churches and synagogues and schools and TV shows we watch and the communities we grow up in. And it gets us to a certain point, but then when things aren't working in your adult life, you need to understand what parts of your script, we call it, which is your tapes, let's say, some people call it tapes, what parts no longer serve you and that are actually holding you back, your learned behaviors. So that's a big part, too, of uncovering your stuff so that you can evolve and get along and have a flourishing relationship. So it's all part of it. And we're waiting for our callers. And the number again is 323-203-0815. So what do you have to say? Any people calling in? I have someone wrote in here if you want to hear this one.
Yeah.
This is, she says, a lady, what do you do when men don't get the point? You don't have a connection. Happened twice when she took a break from dating. Well, what do you say, Kelly?
I'll say this. I just was talking. I was actually hanging out with a friend of mine who happens to be a male. And we were just like hanging out together. I was kicked in. Oh, we got a caller.
We'll get back to that. Oh. That's a good topic. Hello.
Hey, ladies. How's it going?
Very good. Happy to be here with you. What do you have for us?
Well, I guess I was calling to update. Last time I was on a call with Sue and Melissa, right? And I ended up basically deciding I'm going to choose the detective, like, safer sort of choice.
And you were dating three, right? You were dating at least two, I recall.
Yeah, I was dating a guy from out of town and then two guys from in town.
Okay.
So, yeah, one of, like, the bubbles and the champagne and that lifestyle with the kids and the ex-wife and that kind of stuff. And then I ended up using the other one. So,
congratulations on you stopping ruminating. You were in a long period of ruminating, which is back and forth, think, feel.
I know. I was like, well, choosing someone that you, like, think you're going to go down the road with to, like, make your husband. I'm like, this is a really important decision. I don't want to mess it up.
Yeah. Well, do you have a promise ring or what stage are you at?
Okay, so that was why I was calling to give you guys the update. He asked if I would be in a long-term monogamous committed relationship headed towards marriage. And I had previously, a couple months ago, brought up the promise ring. And he said, if he proposes within the next 6 months, can he just skip the promise ring? Because he's saving for an engagement ring. But he said he would for sure propose, like, between now and September.
And okay. So are you okay with that? Like, does that sit well with you?
Well, yeah, sort of. But I was like, and then if they don't, then what do you do, right? I guess you cross that bridge when you get there. But
well, he can get you anything for now. It can be, you know, very inexpensive, just a little ring, a little cocktail ring, you know, a little costume jewelry ring. Yeah.
Okay. In the meantime. I sort of mentioned something like that beforehand, but he's like, well, move in with me and, like, I'll just, you know, just rent your house out and I'll pay the bills and then I'll propose.
Well, you're not going to move in with him until you're engaged, at least.
That's what I said. And he said, well, I don't want to propose to you just so that you'll move in here. He said, I want to propose to you in a special way because I'm in love with you and I want to marry you. And so that's what I'm going to do. Yeah. So
which one did you
pick?
Wait a minute. Let's go back. Which one did you pick? Champagne?
No, she picked long-term. She picked the other one.
The one, I don't know if I told you, but he works like 80 hours a week. He's in law enforcement.
Yes.
And I was like, I don't know if she remembers, but I was like, it's like, he's never around. And some people are like, they love when their husband's never around.
Darling, he's out there making money. So you can have a nice lifestyle.
This is my other question, because before we get engaged and before we get married, right now I'm living in my house, paying all my bills. He's in his house, paying all his bills. And because of his dog situation, I have to go to his house, which is pretty far from mine in our city. But I don't want to become a doormat and overgive like I have done in other relationships before. But I feel like since I have to drive out there every time, like I give a lot of my time in that way. And then when I'm there, I'll cook for us. I'll meal prep his food for the week because he wants to eat healthy like I do. And then part of me is like, oh, wait, so I'm giving all these things. And then he's saying he's going to propose in 6 months. But how do I make sure my needs are met, too? Because when I'm at his house doing all
you
these
ask,
things.
You ask, what would
I'm
your
not
needs
at my
be?
House doing my
I want to know what needs you would be talking about. And we'll show you how to ask for things. What is it want?
I just want. Like, I want to feel like I'm getting other things as well besides just.
What
like,
are the other things? I want to know what those things are. You have to know what those things are. He's not a mind reader.
Help fixing things around my house, or like.
You can ask for concrete things. If you want somebody to do something for you, a man to do something for you, you can ask for that. Or is this a convenient time for me to tell you about some things that I would need if you're willing to do them? And you say, I need a few things fixing around the house. Are you willing? Do you have time? And would you be willing to help me in that area?
Okay.
It's perfectly fine to ask for things, concrete help, something that helps you out. You're just not asking for more time or affection or love. But you can ask for the concrete.
Can I ask for like one date night a week and one like weekend trip a month together?
Yes. Ask for it. That's a negotiation. Sure. Ask for it. You may not get it, but you can ask.
Okay, because I was like, oh, his words are so great. Everything that he says about a future.
I don't want you to resent him, though. So if you're already saying, well, I'm doing this and I'm doing that, and I don't think enough of my needs are met, you're starting to allow yourself to build resentments. Don't do that.
No, okay, you got to communicate, and you do have to ask for those concrete things that Patricia's talking about, and you do have to negotiate time, space, money, and play. Those are our you know,
the areas, and that's play. That's part of play. So are you willing, let's just call him whatever, Jack. Are you willing to, Jack, is this a good time for me to talk about some stuff in the area of our life, but in the area of the way we organize our time and our play time? Okay, now's a good time? Okay, good. Well, I was thinking about having once a month. How often did you want this vacation?
Just like a weekend trip a month.
One weekend trip a month. Is that something that you could figure out? Would that work for you in your world with your schedule? That would feel really good to me.
Okay.
What else? Would you want to make it feel good? We want you to feel good so you don't resent him, and we don't want you to resent driving over there. We don't want you to resent cooking meals. So what will do that for you?
Like maybe if he would buy the groceries so I could cook my lunch and his at the same time, so that
you can ask for that. You can ask for that. What, and say, but always in the request with, what do you think?
Okay.
It would make me feel so good if you could do this, if you would help me out in this area, and I would be more than happy to do this and this and this. What do you think? See, you're starting to, this is the beginnings of negotiating a long-term relationship. Everything in our relationships needs to be negotiated. In the areas of time, my time, your time, our time, space, my space, your space, our space, money.
Okay.
Now you mentioned something to do with money, so that's an area where you start negotiating. If you're helping me out in this area with the groceries, da-da-da, and play. How much time are we going to be able to vacation?
Okay, and so as far as like the promise ring versus the engagement ring.
Say you'd be very comfortable having a very inexpensive symbol of your pre-engagement, this promise ring. It doesn't have to be expensive, just a symbol. This is just a symbol while you're waiting for your engagement ring.
And then do you say, or do you guys coach basically no sex until you have some sort of ring? Or if they're saying, oh, in September, you'll have a ring by then.
That's up to you. If he gives you a promise ring or if he's making these promises, those are called verbal commitments. And he sounds like an upstanding citizen. So if you're comfortable that he has made this commitment, but still you can ask for the promise ring too, to show and let him know, this is a symbol to the outside world that I'm with you, Jack, Bill, whatever. It's for him. It's for the outside world to know that you're off the market until further notice. If it keeps going in that direction, but this is the first step in taking you off the market,
which can be a really big deal because you know what? Other men are looking. Then they're looking at your hand. That's one of the first thing. If man is interested, one of the first things he does is he looks down at your left hand. Mm-hmm. If he's a good man, he looks.
Right. Yes. Right. If he's a good man, if he's not, it's a challenge for a bad
one. Yeah. If there's not a good man, they like it because it means that the uncommittable ones kind of like having affairs with married ladies.
But you know what? Right. When I would go out girlfriends and I didn't want to deal with men that night, I would put on a ring and then they would come up and say something and I'd be like, I'm engaged. Thank you so much. You know, it's, that way you don't have to say, no, Jack, I don't want to go out with you. Get the hell away from me. You just say, oh, I'm sorry, I'm engaged. So,
right.
You know, I used it to not, you know, be hurtful to people, but just also I just wasn't at that time I wasn't in the mood.
But for you, I want you to have a ring because it's also for you because you've been ruminating for quite some time. That symbol is for you to recognize that you're off the market.
I know, right?
Right.
Okay, I had a question, Patricia, for you about snakes in my dreams.
About snakes? Oh, uh-huh.
Because I'm like, oh my gosh, we had gone through my, you know, like a week long of dreams. And then I had a dream a few nights ago that I was cleaning out some drawers in my desk. And I was taking out like just the important things and I was throwing away like things I didn't need anymore. And then I was in the kitchen peeling an orange. And as the orange opened and the pieces spread apart, a python snake, like a huge one, crawled out of the orange and wrapped itself around my rafter, and then a baby one crawled out and slithered around like the strings that were tying on my apron, so I had to like throw my apron off onto the floor with the snake on it.
Mm-hmm. This is demonstrating your fear of sexual monogamy, sexual commitment. Mm-hmm. So since you were ruminating so long and now you're starting to commit, it's your innate fears are coming out. And when you were cleaning out your drawers, that's part of cleaning out your script. That's you were doing things in correlation with your waking life that is unscripting you or rewriting your script so that you don't have to repeat your patterns. Now you're facing your actual fear of commitment, my dear.
Of choosing the wrong guy.
Listen, we're only going to promise ring right now, and then we're going to go, and that's still due diligence period. You're still doing due diligence, and then when you're engaged, you're still in a due diligence period until you're married. Didn't you watch those movies where the people bail at the last moment, even at the altar?
Runaway bride.
The runaway bride. Thank you, Kelly. you can still run away, my dear. You're not trapped until you decide you're ready to do it. But go through the phases. Get yourself incrementally desensitization is what this is about. We're incrementally desensitizing you to being partnered and ultimately married.
Back well, it's interesting biblical allegory there with the piece of fruit and the snakes.
Right, exactly. So that's her, the fruit is the relationship and the potential of the sweetness of the flourishing side of life. But then her fear comes at the snakes or her fear of it. So that's her duality. Right. That's her rumination right there.
Most definitely.
Well, the next night after that, I had a dream and I had a baby and I had one on each hip and I was like at my work doing a training for people while I was carrying the babies around.
Okay. And how did you feel in that dream? How did it make you feel? Was it a happy feeling or stressed or what was it?
I was happy in the dream. I was kind of like, I wasn't really doing so much of the work anymore, but I was just holding the babies and like showing everybody else how to do their work.
So you were accepting, this is you starting to incrementally desensitize to what you have previously told us your goals were, even though your actions were not mirroring what your verbal goals were. So now your subconscious mind is telling us that you are starting to accept what you originally set out to do, and that's to be partnered and have a family.
Okay.
And for you people out there, we're not going to go on and on about dreams anymore. These do relate to relationships, especially these dreams. Yes, my book is called The Dream Class, Know Your Dreams, Know Yourself, by me, Patricia Eltinge. But thank you for sharing those dreams, because it really does pertain. Those dreams did pertain to where you're at, where you just came out of a long period of rumination. And let's go to the next level. Let's keep going and desensitized to being partnered and ultimately being married. So you still have several months to be in this investigation period. Got it?
Got you. The part that scares me about that is that you're letting go of like the other two good ones that were.
Boo-hoo. Like, they're not going anywhere. If this guy bombs out and you don't like him, they'll be there.
Okay. We'll see. Hopefully this works out. But if not.
Or I'll you can decide today or tomorrow that you just want to be a playgirl. And then once you're, how old are you now?
Too old.
How old? Are you close to 40?
I'm 37.
Okay. Well, you can be a playgirl till you're just too late to have a family, unless you want to marry someone who has a family, or you adopt, unless you've frozen your eggs. So you have to know what all your options are, and you can't be a playgirl forever and also want to be a playgirl and want a family. You have to decide what you want in life, and that's what we call the Institute, the Want Institute. It's knowing what you want and what you don't want and go after it and do what's necessary to get what you want in life. Now, you can't be a playgirl and a mom at the same time.
Okay. Makes sense.
Nope.
Got to pick.
That's too hard.
Well, I'm going in with this one, so I'll tell him the cheap, inexpensive promise ring and see what happens.
Very good. Very good. Oh, caller in the queue. Thank you.
Thanks,
okay.
Lady.
Thank you.
Right.
We've you got another it. Caller waiting. Hello.
Hi, ladies.
Hello, hello. So what can we do for you?
I just want to say thank you for your show first. And I have a question. I'm dealing with a passive-aggressive fiancé.
Oh, you're engaged. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. And I just need some help in communicating or clarifying through the communication, the situation.
Let's have it.
I guess just sum it up. We were planning to go and visit Europe to visit my family, and he didn't want to do it. And there was a process of postponing, trying to, you know, passive aggressively move it and not doing it. Anyway, I'm going on a trip by myself. I bought a ticket. And I told him about it. And funny enough, I bought the ticket, let's say tonight, and the next day he received his passport, because one of the issues was that his passport was expired. And when he received the passport, he said, "You see, you could have just waited one day." And I said,
"Well, it doesn't sound like you worked as a team on this. If you're engaged, you have to start practicing being a team player." And so you just went and bought your ticket on your own instead of
The story was that I was asking him, I was giving him a date, I was arranging my family in Europe and with him. And I wanted to get the tickets, and I was asking when is it convenient. And he was saying, "I'm not comfortable this night." So he was switching to kind of like a female language. So I waited 3 days. I was asking, "Is this convenient for you today?" And he was, I'm not comfortable. And then we had a little argument because I did say, "You have every right not to buy the ticket, but I feel..." And I expressed my negative feelings about him just pushing it away. And then he said, "Okay, just get the tickets." And
then, he did say, "Go ahead and get the ticket."
Yeah, he threw his passport and his credit card and he said, "Just order whatever you want." But then we discovered that the passport was expiring, so we couldn't order tickets anyway. And then I had a conversation and we kind of cleared things out. He felt that I was pressuring him into this trip and kind of like switched the places. He wasn't comfortable. He brought like other reasons, money situation and this and that. And I said, "I understand you have every right not to do that. And all your reasons are solid, you know. I don't want to force you to do something that you don't want. I just really wanted to go and visit my family. And, you know, we were planning to do that for over a year. We just never had like the right time and the opportunity for all of us, you know."
Did you know he had put in the order for the new passport?
No. So after that, that's when I started booking the tickets. That's when I discovered that his passport was expiring, so I couldn't buy the tickets for...
I understand that, but then you went and bought a ticket before... When did he start ordering the new passport?
He ordered the passport right after that.
After the discovery. So you were impatient. This sounds to me like you were impatient because he did order the new passport and you didn't want to wait for it to come.
Yes, because of the timeline for my job and the situation that I have on my end. So
okay, so can he go now? Are you going and he's not going to go? Or can he get a ticket now and go?
What we changed, and it's arranging for people, you know, my family too, my mom and my sister. So we end up switching the dates to... fall, you know, so they don't wait for us. So we're going to do this trip in fall.
Good.
But then I said that I want to go on vacation for myself anyway, because I was planning not with the family, but just by myself. So I told him that and he said, "Okay, fine." You know, and I asked him, like, "What do you think? I'm going to do in April, this and that." So he was pretty open about it. I don't know if he thought that I will really do that or not, but I did buy my tickets. I ran by him. I showed him the dates, the everything, you know, when I was buying the tickets, and just confirmed that he was okay with that. He said, "Yeah, you know, you wanted to travel and do your thing." And then the next day he received the passport and he was saying like, "Oh, you see, you couldn't wait just one day," which
okay,
we didn't know.
You didn't know when it was coming.
I said, "You can still buy the tickets if you want." So now I'm getting this little like guilt messages, you know. But in the end, he still, like, didn't. Because that's now we're talking about just vacation for me and him, you know. So it's going to be just me. And, but we have another trip that we were planning. And I guess.
What do you want out of this?
I don't want him to keep blaming me for, you know.
Then you say, I hear what you're saying. What give me some of his words and I'll tell you how to come back to them. What does he say?
Or you're going to find another husband there. Or
well, there's jealousy. So he expresses some jealousy. Say, darling, I appreciate you expressing your jealousy, and I'm sensing that you're not happy by your tones and your what you're saying. I have a sense that you're not happy that I'm going. Am I right?
Okay.
And he says, blah, 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 blah. You go, oh, so I'm right. So what can I do to help us both do better in this situation?
Okay. That's good. Thank you. And then he says, because we have another trip that we were planning together to a different country, and he kind of like drops these, you know, sentences that, oh, so this trip is never going to happen. And I said, no, I still want to do that trip, and I have my budget and everything. So feel free just to arrange, like, whatever you need to do arrangements on your behalf, you know, with work and stuff. And I'll be happy to book that. I don't know if I sounded a little more general and evasive about that. So maybe something more.
Just be specific and always ask him what you can do. You want resolution is what we want. We want resolution. So you, if you sense this jealousy or you sense that the snide remarks, then you address it. You say, I'm sensing by this, what you just said, that you're not, what can we do to help us feel better in this situation? Or how, in this case for him, help us do better in this situation and resolve this. What can we do? What do you suggest we do?
Hmm.
You put the ball in his court and get him thinking instead of in his feelings. And say, what can we do? I'm willing to do what's necessary to so that we can have a win-win here.
Okay. Yeah, I agree 100%. You can't just let it go with him feeling that way, because if you do, it's going to end up, you know, hyping into super negativity with respect to that. You have to have a conversation.
Yeah,
he's feeling a certain.
Mm-hmm, sorry, God.
And you're feeling, and you're starting to be resentful. So you're just building bad blood between you. So it has to be out in the open.
Yeah, I do admit that I was very resentful and angry when he was kind of pushing the first trip away and didn't really want to do it.
Well, that's so. You being masculine, dear. When you don't get what you want, you're going to punish a man. And that's not how you get what you want. Sometimes we have to be patient, passive, and receptive. You can't always get exactly what you want when you want it. Right, Kelly?
Yes. Passive, patient, and vulnerable. It's tantamount. It's incredibly important because, you know, otherwise you start shifting. He starts going feminine. You start going masculine.
And she started going single. You went single so fast. I'm going on a vacation with or without you. Boom. You had to punish him because he didn't have his passport. You became punitive.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you did.
I did. I'm just saying that I'm just laughing at myself.
And now look what you know. Maybe he'll find somebody while you're gone. Now you're going off on a single vacation and you're both kind of pissed off at each other. And that's not how we design win-win situations.
Yeah, well, we had the, you know, like the Pat Allen chapter 14, that
time, space, travel. Money, time, space, money, and play. Okay.
it's like he has his travel, me travel, and we have our travel. So this is considering me travel, you know, because he travels.
I understand, but the way you went about it was kind of punitive because he didn't have his act together exactly when you wanted it.
Yeah, that's true. I admit that. Yeah. Okay. Thanks.
Thank you for admitting it. Okay. Well, you stick around and tell us how you're going to resolve this. Call us again.
Okay. Thanks. Okay. Bye.
Thank you.
See, well, you have to dig the story and you have to dig the whole truth out.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I'll tell you what. That's interesting because working in law with witnesses and with victims, that's a lot of what I did for a long time. And sometimes you do, you guys got to keep digging at that wound until you finally go like, okay, we found the splinter now. So, you know, it's can be difficult. Negotiating can be difficult, but it's interesting because if you use the tools enough, they become a good habit. They become natural to use. And so in the beginning, when you're first learning the tools, sometimes it's not so easy to step immediately to the tool. So I always encourage my ladies to remember, you know, like, wear a bracelet or wear a rubber band on your wrist or a hair bobby. And, you know, when you're getting ready to open that yang mouth, like snap that rubber band. Whoa. Take a second before you talk. And, you know, it's like you cannot unring a bell and everything you say that's negative and hurtful is out there.
And before you click the button on buying yourself a ticket to show him that you're going to do whatever you're going to do, yeah, think twice. Because now that gal she is impatient, and that's not what we teach. We teach ladies, sometimes you have to just wait it out and keep talking to negotiate. And the passport was coming. She just had to wait. She wanted what she wanted when she wanted it. So now there you go. Okay, back
to the things in this day and age is that women have been masculine in the workplace and this and that and the other. And it almost takes over. I always tell my ladies, take your suit coat off. Take off your work clothes before you get home. Take off your work clothes, meaning your work attitude, because it's not conducive to good relationships with a masculine man.
Right. So while we're waiting for another caller, but again, the number's 323-203-0815. Back to the question that was written in was, what do you do when men don't get the point that you don't have connection?
Well, right.
They're not mind readers. Kelly, well, you know.
That's one of the things I was going to say when we were talking earlier. I was making dinner. My friend was sitting there. And, you know, I was concentrating on cooking. And then I turned around, I looked at him. And then I said, what you thinking about? And he looked up at me and he said, nothing. And I said, nothing.
Thank you.
He goes, yeah, I'm a dude. And then I started laughing. And I said, okay, I accept that. Because he literally said to me, I was not thinking about anything. I was just here with you.
Yes. So when these ladies are out there dating and they're dating these men and they have a few dates and the men are going to keep going after what they want. If you don't have a chemistry with them after three dates, then you have to tell them in words. And those words sound like this. I hope this person who wrote in is listening. And that is a Bill. I so appreciate the dates that we've had. And you're very nice. However, I don't have the chemistry that I need to be in a relationship with you. So you have to give them the golden parachute. Let them down easy, but you have to let them know. So you say, I don't have the kind of chemistry that I need to be in a relationship with you. However, you're a very nice person, and I know you'll find somebody, the right person for you. And you have to speak. You can't just giggle or push them away or go, ew, when they try to kiss you, don't kiss them back. You have to let them know in words. And
yeah, they're different than us. The truth of the matter is, when he said that, I laughed because there was a thousand things going through my mind. What I was doing in the kitchen, what I was doing this, how was I plate? I'm going to plate this. Oh, wait, you know, this and that and the other. Oh, yeah, don't forget, you got to pay that bill. Brrr, my brain's going 100 miles an hour. And he's just sitting over there, just vibing, just like nothing. And so when he said that, at first I was really shocked, like, how can you be thinking about nothing? And then I thought to myself, because he's a man. He's right. Not thinking about anything, and he truly isn't.
But the man that this girl is dating, the men that this girl dates, they're going after what they want. And they are out there dating and trying to be, they like her and they want to be with her. So they're going after what they want because they're designed to do that. Now it's up to her. She has the veto rights to not want to be with them if she doesn't want to be with them. But after three dates, she says, gives them the golden parachute line to let them know that she doesn't have it for them. But you have to use the words. So again, I hope you're listening tonight. And if you're not, there's always archives for people who want to get, if they write us, write in questions, then you can listen to the archive if you can't listen to the live show. And we have all kinds of tidbits for you.
Oh, most certainly. Most certainly. So yeah, again, but you know,
go ahead.
Just, it's just interesting to me that just, you know.
Anyway, the office number is 949-723-0338 for appointments and groups. And the email, you can always email at info@drpatallen.com. So info@drpatallen.com with questions or more information on how to get going and dating and find your perfect mate.
Oh, goodness, we're close to being out of time.
Uh-huh. So,
well, what are we going to say before we go?
Well, let's say that the only way you know you love yourself or anybody else is by the commitments you're willing to make and keep.
True words. Remember, everybody, we've got groups. We've got all kinds of fun things. I think we have a free video on the website, www.drpatallen.com. And we love you. We'll be back soon.
See you next week. Bye for now.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.